You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today, Lily speaks with Professor Valerie Fagan about the effects of air pollution on health. His research indicates an estimated 4.2 million people have died in the past 25 years due to air pollution. Professor Fagan co-authored the paper with a team of international academics for the Global Burden of Disease Study 2015.
Sending this message from the year 2038 to tell you one thing. Lily was right. Lily was right.
Want a better future for the planet? Then listen up. This is the Green Desk with Lily Peacock, thanks to the Monaco Beautification Charitable Trust.
So Professor Valerie Fagan, Director of AUT's National Institute for Stroke and Applied Neuroscience and co-author of the recent paper released from the Global Burden of Disease Study 2015. So I guess my first question is, what were the main questions that you were trying to answer in the paper that you co-authored?
Yeah, the main purpose that was to evaluate the contribution of air pollution to the total death and cause-specific death, like death from cardiovascular disease, stroke, pulmonary disease.
And what were the main findings?
Main finding was that the contribution of air pollution is very substantial and increasing, particularly in low to middle income countries.
And why is it increasing specifically in those countries?
Because they increasingly exposed to particularly ambient air pollution. There are two types of air pollution. One is ambient air pollution, mainly from particle matters, and indoor air pollution from solid fuels. And those ambient air pollution exposure is increasing very substantially.
So in order to curb that, what needs to be done to help those countries?
We need to reduce the sources of air pollution. If you're talking about ambient air pollution, we're talking about air pollution from cars, from industrial air pollution, and also air pollution from a wildfire. Indoor air pollution is from burning solid fuels inside the house. This is particularly an issue in countries like Africa and some areas of India. Middle-income countries, it's not really an issue. The main issue is ambient air pollution. And to reduce that, we need to reduce the products of combustion, car combustion, reduce pollution plants, industrial air pollution. These are the main sources of air pollution.
And is that coming from a policy directive?
Yeah, that requires, of course, policy changes, and that can only be done on the government level. That needs a regulation, government regulation.
Right. So from within those countries.
Yes, but also individual can also reduce their exposure. And there are something they can do, each of us can do to reduce the exposure to air pollution, like being less exposed to car air pollution and busy traffic, car jams, not running along the streets when there are a lot of cars on the streets, simple like that,
mm-hmm.
or even wearing a special breathing mask, but special mask, not just regular masks.
Right, okay. So we can wear masks to protect ourselves. That's good to know.
It can.
And how do the findings of this paper fit into the rest of the studies as a whole, like into the existing research?
About global burden of disease?
Yes.
So we compared the global burden of disease, in this case, death from various health conditions, due to air pollution, to the exposure, comparing it with the exposure to other causes of death, for example. And if we take, for example, cerebrovascular disease, stroke, and then 16% of the global burden of stroke is explained by air pollution. 16%.
Wow. 16%.
Yeah.
That's quite high. Just for something as arbitrary as what we think is arbitrary as air pollution to be causing that much disease.
That's the novelty of these findings. But people's perception of air pollution, oh yes, it affects your health, but not substantially. No, it does affect very substantially for cardiovascular disease. It's very, very, what it means actually, that 1 in 6 deaths from stroke or myocardial infarction is due to air pollution.
1 in 6?
Yes, 1 in 6.
So 20%? No, 20%.
Yes, about 20%.
Wow.
Yes.
That's quite overwhelming, I think.
And because it's increasing, the burden of disease due to air pollution is increasing over the last 25 years, that definitely should attract the government's attention and call for action.
Do you think that it will increase into the future at the same rate it's been increasing in the last 25 years?
So far, it is on the rise, particularly ambient air pollution. The air pollution due to solid fuels is decreasing. So it's a positive trend. Ambient air pollution is increasing, particularly because of the increasing use of cars in developing countries.
If we replaced all the cars with electric cars, would that make a difference?
Absolutely, absolutely. It will make a huge difference.
So it's really something that should be an international focus. And that kind of goes along with climate change, wouldn't it? If we've got something that we're focusing on reducing carbon, we also need to be focusing on air pollution as an international issue.
Absolutely, yes.
That's some food for thought. Well, thank you, Dr. Fagan. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
That was The Green Desk, thanks to the Monaco Beautification Charitable Trust.
Yes, Lily was speaking there with Professor Valerie Fagan. You're tuned into The Wire. It is 10 to 1. The Auckland Regional Public Health Service say Auckland is experiencing a mumps epidemic with more than 50 reported cases this year so far. Auckland University Associate Professor Nikki Turner says the rise in mumps was a cause for concern.
We're seeing outbreaks of mumps all around the world, and there's a couple of reasons for this. In New Zealand, the major problem is a lot of students and young adults did not get both the MMRs when they were young. That's the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. So the first thing for all young people, teenagers and young people, is to check that they've had their vaccination and they need 2 doses. And if they haven't, then that's the most urgent thing, is to get a vaccination. Or if they can't find the record, they should have a vaccination, because there's no risk in having too many vaccinations. And out of the measles, mumps and rubella, the mumps is the one that's less effective vaccine, so that if you've only had 1 dose, you're more likely to get breakthrough mumps. It's not as effective as the rubella and measles. So the most important message is get vaccinated. But we are also seeing all around the world, we're seeing some outbreaks in fully vaccinated people as well, because it's, as I said, it's not such a good vaccine as the measles one. However, if you have been fully vaccinated and you do get mumps, you don't get it so severely. So at this stage, you know, the strong advice is check your vaccination status, and if in doubt, go to your family doctor and get your MMR. That's the most important message, and get 2 MMRs.
Right. So presumably there is more to be done in developing a strong and effective vaccine. Would that be the case, or is it just that the disease is not able to be combated in the same way as measles?
I think what we're finding in countries that have really high MMR uptakes is that you actually stop the spread of mumps. But New Zealand has still got a gap where years ago we had low coverage for young infants, who are now teenagers and young adults. So the main problem is just not enough vaccination. And in countries that have really high vaccination, they don't tend to have big problems with mumps. Now, having said that, if the world got more worried and we continued to see outbreaks of mumps and vaccinated, and the other option is to consider an extra vaccine, you know, put in an extra dose. At this stage, the feeling is most of the problem is under vaccination.
Right, and why is that? Is that just that there is not enough education around vaccination? Is it the anti-vax movement gaining some ground? I mean, what do you put that down to?
It used to be, we used to have low coverage in New Zealand, and now we've got high coverage, so our younger children, our infants, are vaccinated to a reasonably high degree. But what happened years ago was that the anti-vaccination movement in New Zealand was quite strong. There was a fear generated by a doctor in the UK who has been completely misproven since, but there was a fear about the MMR vaccine and autism. The science is really clear, there was no link, but at that stage a lot of people were concerned and didn't vaccinate their children. That was back in from 1998 in the early 2000s. So we had a whole group of people going through, many of whom missed their vaccines. Now, a lot of those now are young adults and are not aware of the fact they might have missed their vaccines. So it's not now anti-vaccination. I think people are very aware that, you know, this vaccine's working, it's very effective, and it's very safe. But you've got a legacy historically of when we went through that period where a lot of people might have missed their MMR vaccines.
Right, and that's just now catching up with us, I guess.
Yeah,
and now,
exactly.
Now is where we have to go back and, yeah.
That's right. So it's catching up with us. So we're doing well with our younger kids, and the promotion and the understanding of vaccines in New Zealand is doing well. I mean, obviously, there's anti-vaccination out there, but there always has been. And as we know, so long as nearly 95% of our people are vaccinated, then the bugs won't spread, you know. So most of us can look after the few that choose not to vaccinate. But in that era, too many people missed out. So what you find when you get mumps outbreaks and measles outbreaks in New Zealand is they tend to be older adolescents, young adults, in that group who missed out their vaccines.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.